Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 32. Matthew 6 and 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Hold that. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. If the Lord would stand by me today, I want to preach what I'm calling, God will take care of you. This verse of Scripture was made so real to me upon my having a visit with Brother Carl Bruce in town a few days ago. Now, when Carl goes shopping, he really goes shopping. Carl don't go to town often, but when he goes in a big way. He don't bother to go buy a can of this or a can of that. We're talking about by the case. Yeah. Now, Carl has three boys. There's Jansen and Grayson, and then there's Kyle. And for we that know Kyle, all of us especially love Kyle. For you that are not aware, Kyle is a handicapped young man, but he holds a very special place in all of our hearts. And there's one thing that I'm assured of, is that Kyle knows he's loved. Kyle knows that he is cared for. Kyle does not understand the occupation of his father. Kyle cannot understand the means by which those provisions are made. Carl can come home and his clothes be greasy and dirty, but Kyle cannot fathom and understand exactly why his father is clad in greasy clothes. Kyle does not understand, and probably neither do you and I understand very much about automobiles and machinery and those things, but now Carl Bruce, he knows how to make it work. He's one of the few men that can take a transmission apart and put it back together and it's still going the right gear. You ought to try that sometimes. Kyle understands nothing of that. But there's one thing that Kyle knows, and that is that his daddy's going to take care of him. I am much like Kyle. You are much like Kyle. We cannot understand God. We cannot understand the might, the mind, and the majesty of God. We cannot understand the ways of God. We cannot understand the wisdom of God. But there's one thing that we are assured of and we are confident in, and that is God will take care of us. Yeah. Oh, for the provision and the forethought that our Heavenly Father has for His children. I looked at Carl the other day when he was shopping. He had just cases and cases of things and large quantities of items that he was purchasing. He knew those were the things that Kyle would need. He knew that those were the things that Kyle would want. He knew that in the forthcoming days, those were the things that Kyle would expect to have. So being the father that he was, because he knew that his son would want those things, he began to prepare so that he might provide for his son. May I say that our Heavenly Father is likewise the same. Our Heavenly Father knows what things we have need of. Our Heavenly Father is completely cognizant, and He is ever aware, and He is always looking, and He is always on the job that He may prepare for you and I the things that we will have need of. Christ, in this great Sermon on the Mount, directs our attention to the things of worry, the things of life of which we are careful about, the things of life that cause us concern. Let us look at it in these three areas. Let us analyze the cause of worry. Let us avoid the curse of worry. Let us apply the cure of worry. Jesus is telling us that we have a Heavenly Father that is concerned about all of our needs. He tells us there in verse number 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Come now, let us for a moment analyze the cause of worry. Why do we worry? Why are we so careful? Why are we so burdened? Why are we so over anxious? Why are we so filled with concern about the things of this life? Will you be honest with me? We fret over secular concerns. I say we fret over secular concerns. And by the word secular concerns, I mean earthy things. I mean the normal day-to-day problems that we face. How those things cause us to become so overtaxed. How those things cause us to be so over-concerned. I mentioned this in preaching some weeks ago of how we worry about our food. Jesus mentions that. We worry about our fashion. We worry about our fitness. We worry about our finances. These are secular things. These are temporal things. These are things that will pass away. These are things that will one day be of no importance at all. But how often our food, our fashion, our finance, our fitness, those things that are so fleeting, those things that are so swiftly passing, we allow these things to cause us to be filled with worry. Food. What are we going to eat? Nations now are ravaged by famine. But, you know, in America, you know, we are to the place of where we feel, you know, we're angered and we're bothered if our food don't come fast enough. If you just want to see somebody lose what little sanctification they got, you let them rattle that tea glass more than twice at a restaurant, and if that waitress don't come running, help me now. I mean, we're so impatient. We're so bothered about food. We worship it. We want it. We worry over it. Everybody today is concerned about food. Amen. We worry about our clothes. We worry about our fashion. You see, in Jesus' day, when he spoke these words, what a man wore told everything about how much money he had. You see, because gold would be sewn into their garments, and fine linen spoke of being very wealthy and having much. And very alike our day today, isn't it? You know, we're so concerned about the things we wear, the raiment that we put on. I mean, we want to make sure that everything is just so, and all of that has its place. But my friend, we should not be so concerned about those things that we forget about eternal things. We should not be so concerned about the things that are fleeting and the things that are passing that we forget about the soul that the coat clads. I heard a quote just recently of a professor who told his class, "Do not even bring the idea of a soul inside this class." He said, "If you believe you have a soul, leave your soul outside the door. There is no room for souls in psychology." He totally laughed at the idea of a human being having a soul. You see, we're of that mindset today, so many people. We're worried about the clothes that the man wears, but not the soul that's deep inside him somewhere. We're worried about everything being proper. We're worried about everything being fit. We're worried about the man being adequately clothed. But what about if that soul is unsaved? What about if that man does not know God? What about if his heart is not right with God? You see, my friend, the emphasis today are placed upon the wrong things. It's not so much the clothes the man wears, but it's where the man is going when he leaves this walk of life. Where will his soul spend eternity? Yeah. food and fashion and fitness. Verse 27, which of you by taking one thought can add one cubic unto his stature? I understand that this word cubic here offers a bit of a turn from what we would normally think. We would presuppose that this word, and Jesus is simply saying that, which man by worrying, which man by concerning himself with his stature could make himself taller. But the expositors tell us that this verse does not deal so much with the height of a man's life as the length of his life. And so Jesus is saying, which man of you can add one day, one week, one month, one year to his life? Which man can make his life longer? And we worry about how long we're going to live, but we fail to live now. We fail to live now. For you see, it's how a man lives now. It's how a man prepares now that counts most in eternity. Remember that man that Jesus called a fool? I understand that he was a farmer. But come now, Jesus did not call him a fool because he was a farmer. As a matter of fact, this farmer was no fool. This was a wise man. He was a man that was a very profitable, prosperous farmer. He had done well. He had labored hard, and he had worked long, and his fields brought forth plenty. This man was no fool, monetarily speaking. This man was no idiot when it come to work and labor. But Jesus called this man a fool simply because he thought that the length of his life consisted only of while he lived here upon earth. And he said, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. But Jesus said of this man, God said, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. And who shall these things be? You see, the length of a man's life is not concerned only with living here. But after life, there is eternity. There is yet another life. And oftentimes, we are so bothered and we're so concerned with secular things. Our food, our fashion, our fitness. How long will our future be? Our finances and all these things. And we forget that there's another life to live. We forget that somewhere beyond the grave, the soul is going to live on. Yes. And we worry about our future. We worry about tomorrow. Verse number 34. Take therefore no thought of for tomorrow. We worry about what tomorrow is going to bring. We worry about what tomorrow will bring to us. And we worry over our future. All of these things, secular things, things that are fleeting, things that will pass. Analyze with me the cause of worry. We worry about our secular concerns. We fret over our secular concerns. We forget. Mark, we forget our spiritual confidences. Jesus said in verse 32, your heavenly Father knoweth. Here's where we get in trouble. Here's where we're overwrought. And here's where we're over concerned. We get so bothered with all these things that I've mentioned, and we forget that we have a heavenly Father that knows. The lilies of the field, they have no power to plan ahead, yet they have no want. And how many of you and I, our lives are corroded with care, and we're overtaxed with concerns, and we worry about things that we think may happen, and we try to predict the future. But may I say that there's a God that sees all? May I say it that way? There is a God that sees all. There is a God, I say, that sees all. Your heavenly Father knoweth. One man said it this way: we fail to trust in the prevision of God. We fail to understand that He sees before. We fail to see that He can see ahead. He can see tomorrow. He's the God of yesterday. He is the God of today. And should tomorrow come, He'll be the God of tomorrow. We fail to trust the prevision of God. We fret over things that we may face. And we forget, I can put my confidence, I can put my trust, I can be assured, I know that God will provide and God will make a way. The God who sees all is also the God who supplies all. The God that sees all is the God that supplies all. Verse number 26, fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. He feedeth them. Question, are ye not much better than they? If He watches over the sparrows, and He does. If He clothes the lilies of the field, and He does. Don't you think He's able to supply our needs? I need to preach some hope into a weary heart here today. I need to try to preach a little bit of faith into someone that is distraught. And you're wondering, how are these things going to work out? Will God take care of me? Will you listen to the preacher today? God will take care of you. For He is the God that sees all, and He is the God that supplies all. The God that made the birds of the field, they do not sow and they do not reap, yet they all are adequately fed. He is the God that made the lilies of the field, and they do not toil, and neither do they spin, but yet they are arrayed in such garments of glory that Jesus said Solomon was not arrayed in such garments as these. You see, He is the God also of you and I. He is the God of creation, and He is the God of restoration, and He is the God of provision, and the God that takes care of the fowls of the air, amen, and the flower of the field is also the God that will take care of you. We must analyze the cause of our worry. Now we must avoid the curse of worry. What a bane, what a blight, what a curse worry is to the life of a Christian. It defeats our spiritual life. Worry defeats our spiritual life. O ye of little faith. Remember those words? Verse 30. O ye of little faith. I hear that once. I hear it twice. I hear it three times. I hear it four times. I hear it when the disciples are upon the ship and the great storm begins to come up and they fear for their lives. And Jesus comes and rebukes the storm. And then He says, O ye of little faith, are you in the storm today? Are you the one that's fighting the winds of discouragement? Are you the one that's fighting the darkness of despair? And Satan has come to you and said, God don't care. The Lord will not provide. This is the end. This is over. You're out. You're through. You're finished. But Jesus comes to the bow of the boat and rebukes the wind. And then He chides them and says, O ye of little faith, how could you have ever doubted me? But that's not the last time I hear this phrase, O ye of little faith. Peter is walking on the water to go to Jesus. And he gets his eyes off the Master. master. Remember, the master is the primary. He is the one that is paramount. He is the one that is preeminent. He is the one that must be first and foremost in your life. As long as Peter had his eyes on Jesus, he walked upon the water, but the wind was boisterous and the waves were rolling. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. For a moment, he got his eyes off of the primary and looked to the secondary. And when he began to look at the secondary, he began to go down. But as he went down, he cried, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And Jesus too chided and corrected him and said, "Oh, ye of little faith, may I say to you, it matters not the racing waves and the howling winds. If you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, he will take care." I said, God will take care of you. Not only when the disciples were in the ship and the storm was raging, when Peter was walking upon the sea, did Jesus use these words, but also when the disciples had forgotten to take bread. They forgot to take bread. And there was a little lad that had just a small bit, just a 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And one of the disciples said, "What is that among so many?" Didn't have enough. But I love what one of the Gospels record. Said these words, "For Jesus knew within himself what he would do." Amen. Isn't it great that when we forget, and when we overlook, and we're not prepared, Jesus already knows what he's going to do. So he takes what they have, and he blesses it, and he breaks it, and they dispense it to the multitude. And of the fragments, they pick up 12 basketfuls. Hallelujah. And then Jesus says again, "Oh, ye of little faith." Oh, thank God. You see, this worry and this anxiety that you and I sometimes suffer is equated with the lack of trust. Because we fail to trust Him, our worry defeats us. Our worry not only defeats us, but our worries distract us. You see, Jesus says in this chapter, verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one," either hate the one and love the other, "or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." The idea of that is to be separated. It is to be divided. It is to be drawn in two. And so the Bible says in Luke 12 and 29, a corresponding passage to this, Jesus said, "Neither be ye of a doubtful mind." In other words, you must not be divided in your heart. You must not be divided in your faith. And so many times we're distracted in our minds, and we cannot believe God because we're pulled in two and we're drawn apart by our worries. One commentator offered the illustration of a little pit bull terrier that has taken hold of a rag doll and rent it to shreds. And he said, that's the way our mind is sometimes. We're just being ravaged to pieces. And we're being overcome with our worries that defeat us spiritually and distract us mentally. Come now. Where's your mind at right now? Before my words just then arrested your thoughts, where were your thoughts? I know some of you are saying, well, he's got 15 minutes, or we're not going to be out by 12. That's a big worry, isn't it? What we're going to have for dinner? What are we going to have for lunch? What I've got to do this afternoon? I've got to go here. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. All of these things distract our minds. Amen. Worry destroys. I say worry destroys our physical life. It makes life shorter. It makes life more unhappy. It makes life more unfruitful. It makes life unbearable. Is that your life today? Unfruitful? Unbearable? So filled with worry. But for every malady, there's a remedy. And for every ailment, there's a cure. I found the cure. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We must apply the cure for worry in our lives. What is the cure? This is the cure. This one single verse. Here's the cure that you must apply. The cure that I must apply. It's this way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We must seek the reign of God in our lives. See, a kingdom presupposes a king. And if there's a king, he must reign. Does he reign in your life? In every human heart, there is a throne and there is a cross. If self is on the throne, Christ is again on the cross. That's not the correct picture. Self must be on the cross. Christ must be on the throne. For a kingdom presupposes a king. Christ is king. And let him reign in your heart. Seek first the kingdom of God. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Hallelujah. Let him reign. You know the problem with many people in this world that are so unhappy, that are so afraid of tomorrow, that are constantly overcome with fears, they've not yet made Jesus king of their life. But I must preach to you today, the only happiness there is comes from the Prince of Peace. The only joy, the only satisfaction, the only fulfillment you'll ever find that is lasting is in Jesus Christ, the Lord of all. You must seek the righteousness of God for your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We must seek the reign of God in our lives. We must seek the righteousness of God in our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And His righteousness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, in every individual, there is a void. And God put it there. And the only thing that can fulfill that void, and the only thing that can satisfy, but you can't do it. And how many people in the world over are trying to fill their life with all of these things, and yet their heart is still empty, and their lives are still void. God must reign in our lives. We must seek God's righteousness in our lives. And then last of all, we will enjoy the resources of God in our life. For all these things shall be added unto you. Put God first. Put Him first in your life. And all the things that you need, and all the things that you lack, and all the things that you desire will be added unto you. And I am of the persuasion
that God is a debtor to no man. I said, I am of the persuasion that God is a debtor to no man. Hallelujah. I believe he has no, I say, no unpaid accounts. Glory. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you'll put him first in your life, if you'll make God the focal point, if you will make him the primary, if you will seek him with all of your heart, when you seek him, he will be found of you. If you will call on him, he will answer. And if you will draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. God has no unpaid accounts. He pays his debts. He promised to supply all of my needs. He promised to make provision. He promised to go with me all the way. And God is a debtor to no man. And I have to say, he has supplied all my needs. He's answered my prayers. He's gave me the desires of my heart. He is a rewarder. Hallelujah. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And stand all over the house. Father, come, Brother Bobby. Father, we thank you for this service. Lord, before it even come into my mind to attempt to preach from this text, you knew who would be here today. Father, before I ever prepared this sermon, you knew who would be here today. You see that longing soul. You see that wandering heart. That questioning individual. You know what they're facing today. You know exactly where they're at. And you know what they're going through. Lord, I thank you that you've proved yourself over and over again that you will take care of your own. Let your Holy Ghost come upon us in this altar service. Renew that heart. Restore that faith. Once again, Lord, to believe you for all things. Your heads are bowed. There it is. God will take care of you. Just as little old Kyle is assured and confident that Carl is going to take care of him, I today am even more so assured. I today am even more so confident. God will take care of you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want them to sing, and as they sing, I want us to fill the altars.